You're listening to the Liberty News Radio Network, and this is the Political Cesspool. The Political Cesspool, known across the South and worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, and here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
In a little cafe, just the other side of the border. She was sitting there giving me looks that made my mouth water. So I started walking her way. She belonged to Batman Jose. And I knew, yes I knew, I should leave when I heard her say, hey, come a little bit closer.
From one of the most interviewed guests in the history of TPC to a gentleman making his debut appearance, it is our pleasure to welcome to the broadcast Jose Nino, a patriotic Hispanic American who defends. I asked him to send in a bio, and this is what he sent in, and this is really wonderful. A patriotic Hispanic American who defends the historic American nation from the constant barrage of blood libel coming from the anti-white left. So let's listen in as this journalist makes his first-time appearance here on this program. Jose, it's great to have you tonight. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you so much for having me on, James.
Well, it's great to have you, and it is my pleasure to return the favor. You and I, of course, sat down for what I thought was a really fun interview on your podcast, and we'll give people all of that contact information a little bit earlier this summer. But let's just start with your background and your bio. So how does a gentleman of Venezuelan heritage arrive at these positions?
Well, I came to the United States when I was relatively young, around six, and I got politically active during Ron Paul's 2007-2008 campaign, and I was just like a standard Liberty Republican at that time. That said, I was a big Pat Buchanan fan. I've been
there you go.
On that wavelength for a while. And over time, my views have kind of hardened and become more nuanced, especially on identity and race issues. And I've always had those instincts from the jump because I've lived in a lot of rough neighborhoods that span from being pretty, like, majority Black to majority Hispanic, and I've seen multiculturalism firsthand. And also, being from Latin America, I've traveled a lot. I've seen like how like those type of societies by default are pretty unstable due to their diverse multiracial nature. And I was able to kind of put that all together over the years. And nowadays, I mostly identify more on the dissident right. And I've worked in politics as a gun lobbyist at one point and email marketer. And now I'm a freelance writer. And I also host my own podcast, El Nino Speaks, which you can find on Substack, iTunes, and other places. But really, I focus mostly on protecting the like heritage America and exposing a lot of like the multicultural left and this elite cabal that wants to dispossess the U.S. and just turn this country into like a shopping mall of nukes.
That is a wonderful opening statement, I must say. And yes, by the way, folks, if you want to learn more about this guest, and by the end of his appearance this hour, I am sure you will. If you just go to the top of our Twitter handle, at James Edwards TPC, you can link directly over or go ahead and follow Jose. We have his Twitter handle linked to our weekly promo there at the top of Twitter. And then at thepoliticalcesspool.org, you can follow his work on Substack, El Nino Speaks, his podcast, and also the writing that he does as a regular contributor to Big League Politics, which is a Big League website. Keith?
Well, I tell you what, we might as well get into the topic now. What is happening in the Hispanic community? Are they coming over to our side? Is it because the left has decided to try to make sexual deviancy a civil right issue? Or is it something more than that? Or am I missing the point altogether?
Well, I have a very politically incorrect take on the Hispanic drift to the GOP is that it's largely due to the Democrat Party turning into the de facto Black Party, as Steve Saylor has pointed out. And there is a lot of evidence pointing to that, because I wrote actually 2 years ago in American Greatness that among Democrats during the George Floyd riots, the group that favored the firmest response against Black Lives Matter agitators and all these hoodlums during that whole Saturnalia were Hispanics. It was like 53% or so actually favored like the National Guard like cracking down. This was like Hispanic Democrats, mind you. And there was actually some evidence too from Reed Teixeira, the guy who wrote like the Emerging Democratic Majority, who co-authored that, is like the big Demographic Destiny guy. He's actually found evidence as well that a lot of Hispanics oppose Black-only reparations and are also against, like, defund the police. And there's even some evidence as well that David Cole has shown that in the 2020 ballot initiative to bring affirmative action to California, in many Hispanic counties, counties in California that were predominantly Hispanic, there was a strong trend towards opposing that measure because it was perceived as being like a being only beneficial to Blacks. And my opinion is that a lot of what we see here is kind of the coalition of the fringes eating itself. And I would also add as well that border Hispanics that are drifting to the Republican Party, it's basically because of the open borders onslaught that they're facing like firsthand, and with the Mexican drug war moving up north here, a lot of these Hispanics are probably going to drift to the Republican Party. And some of these Hispanics too do have a lot in common with the white working class, and in fact border Hispanics tend to identify more white than other Hispanic groups. And these Hispanics have been here since 1600, some of them as well. I call these Hispanics like foundational Hispanic Americans, because they're the progeny of a lot of conquistadors and people that settled a lot of the American Southwest. You can find them all the way from South Texas, parts of New Mexico, Southern Colorado, to even like Nevada. So yeah, I think that it's mostly identity issues and some populist issues, not so much the conservatism ink, family values, natural conservative meme that they talk about that's driving Hispanics more and more to the Republican Party.
That really was an insightful answer, and I think it was an important question too, and one that I think you were certainly the appropriate guest to weigh in on. But yes, of course, the conventional wisdom had always been the more people from Mexico or Central or South America that you can get in here, that's going to be a straight that's going to be a voter registration drive for the Democrats. These people are going to vote straight ticket Democrats forever, and their children and their children's children will vote Democrat, and that was the way it was always supposed to be. And now it has shifted, at least. But is that a blip on the radar? Is that something that will be sustainable? Because that really does upset the apple cart and buy us a little more time if the left has gone so woke that this community is revolting. So,
right.
Yes,
we
that's
just
right.
Can't eat.
We'll be right back. I want to talk a little bit more with Jose Nino about that and give you all of this contact information. Fascinating so far. Great first segment. We'll be right back. American Freedom News is your daily one-stop website that will keep you fully informed. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of the big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as it provides truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first and in the historic American nation. Many Americans are finally waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America and Western civilization can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Why does the left lie constantly? Because they get spiritual power from lying. The lies come from Satan, the father of lies. John 8:44. Here's how the political lying process works. Satan provides the beast with a lie. Then the more they use the lie, the more spiritual power they get. Look, the media is a lie multiplier, and this multiplication gives more evil, spiritual power to the beast. And that can overwhelm and even deceive the body of Christ, especially when the body is being disobedient to the head. The churches today are incorporated, so they're subordinate to human government. They obey the beast and do nothing to restore our national relationship with God. And the government shall be on his shoulders, Isaiah 9:6. That verse is not for the present-day church. Rather, it is for the end-time church, the body of the line of Judah. A message from Christ Kingdom Ministries.
Best songs of the 1960s, Jay and the Americans, come a little bit closer.
Well, let's get back on with Bad Man Jose, bad only to the left. So,
Well, I got to tell you, I was very impressed with his debut segment there, and was impressed when I sat down and talked with him for an hour on El Nino Speaks, and I've got the program description from back on the 2nd of July, and he wrote, "Will right-wing populists put the anti-white left in its place?" James Edwards of the Political Cesspool shares his optimistic views about right-wing populism on El Nino Speaks. In addition, he believes that balkanization could be an eventual scenario in the United States, and so that was sort of the basis of our conversation on his platform. And again, folks, go to our website, and you can link over to Jose's Substack and his podcast and more, and of course at Twitter as well. So yes, I think we were asking right before the break, do you see this current trend that could certainly buy us some more time, I think unexpectedly so, with Hispanic Americans? Is this something that is sustainable? Has the left alienated them for a while, or can they be brought back into that reliable Democratic
base? Is it
going
to grow? Is it going to be 50% of the Hispanic vote or more?
A barrage of questions.
I have a nuanced view on this, because I will say that there are very hard limits to the type of gains Republicans can make with Hispanics, because on economic issues, Hispanics are definitely to the left of especially your average white Republican, and they're pretty economically populist. But on law and order, and ironically immigration issues as well, they are malleable. That said, the drift that you're seeing with Hispanics tends to be right now to the Republican Party is kind of within the statistical norm, because the highest percentage that Democrats have like picked up among Hispanics was like, I think in Clinton's second presidential run, I think 71-72%. And I think for Republicans, their ceiling is like 40-45% if they run on pretty like strict populist issues and ditch a lot of like the Reaganism and Bushism. That said, I do believe that Hispanics that have been here before the passage of the Hart-Celler Act, whose families have been here, those people will, especially the working class types, will be more likely going to the GOP. And as immigration becomes more Central American and even African, I do believe a good deal of Hispanic groups will become more receptive to immigration restriction. And actually, there's historical precedent for this. You had Cesar Chavez, who is laughably called like a civil rights icon by the bobblehead media, but when you actually look at his history, he was against mass illegal and even legal immigration that put downward pressure on worker wages. So there is a cohort there. That now, I will caveat this, that I think the GOP establishment will cynically use this to justify more of their affirmative action and cringy outreach programs to avoid doing white working class outreach, which I believe is the X factor for the GOP to actually stay relevant and also to like preserve this country, because that is like the sleeping giant. And as I've said before, that we need to be following the Saylor strategy, where we turn the white working class vote into the equivalent of what the what blacks are to the Democrat Party, where it's a monolithic like 80% to 90% vote. And that should be the goal of just activating the white working class and other politically apathetic whites that feel the system is not representing them, instead of doing these make work diversity programs.
Jose, this is Keith. Two questions. First of all, how do these things like transgenderism and normalization of homosexuality and things like this play in the Hispanic community? And number two, what do you think the reaction would be if in October the Supreme Court outlaws affirmative action? How do you think the Hispanic community will react to that?
I do believe that a lot of these degeneracy issues are getting some Hispanics really uncomfortable as well, especially on when you look at like the transgender stuff, the homosexual stuff, and even a lot of this like body positivity stuff as well, that will definitely alienate some Hispanics. Though I'm of the opinion that some of the interracial beef between blacks and Hispanics is kind of like the way to go for the GOP. They have to get Machiavellian with this and try to play off these groups. I think that's where there's a lot more avenues for inroad, and also like the immigration issue. For affirmative action, if it gets overturned, I don't, although Hispanics do benefit from affirmative action programs, especially in some states, I'm not very convinced that it's going to alienate a lot of Hispanics. And in fact, some of them are probably going to like it more, because in this current woke pivot, blacks are ultimately preferenced over Hispanics at the end of the day. And you even see this, I've argued it's kind of like the George Zimmerman effect, in where in a situation where blacks and like Hispanics get like into conflict, the powers that be will side with blacks. And there's also a good deal of white Hispanics out there that are called like white adjacent. And many of them do genuinely want to like assimilate, or they've already assimilated more or less to like a kind of white working class culture. But a lot of like the reason why Hispanics will probably on the margins go towards populism is largely due to the fact that they identify more with a lot of like the historic American nation and other people, more so than abstract Republican values.
Well, one thing I've noticed is that like Hindus from the subcontinent of India and the Chinese seem to be wanting to, you know, distance themselves from whites and become people of color. I don't feel that so much among Latin and Hispanic people in America. Am I wrong with that assessment, or what do you think is really going on in that situation?
Well, there is a lot of Hispanic on white like intermarriage, especially when you start going to like the working class. I live like in a predominantly Hispanic area, actually in Austin, and you do see that a lot. But that's mostly among a lot of Mexican Americans. When you start looking at more of Central Americans, which are much more indigenous, and even there are some Central Americans of African extraction, that's like a very different type of cohort. Hispanic is a very loose term because, for example, to illustrate this point, in Venezuela, there's a large Arab Hispanic population there, of Arab, like Christian Arab origin, from like Syria to Lebanon. So you can have like a Hispanic could be a indigenous person from Central America to a Arab Venezuelan, and even like a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Argentinian of German descent. So it's a very broad ethno-linguistic category that really should be eliminated altogether from like those government figures. But my opinion is that conservatism Inc. has it wrong with regards to why Hispanics are drifting. And my to the Republican Party, and my fear is that they're going to use a lot of that to justify more of their really lame outreach programs so they can allocate more resources towards that and ignore a lot of like middle American whites.
Well, I will tell you this, Jose, you have come in and done a fantastic job. With seconds remaining, I want to ask you this, and we will have you back so long as you're willing. And folks, be sure to go to the top of our Twitter handle and link over to all of his stuff. Follow him on Twitter. But there are not a lot of white men out there right now who are doing, as you say, defending the historic American nation from the constant barrage of blood libel coming from the anti-white left. How did you end up grabbing onto that third rail and turning it into a lasso?
Well, I've always had as a knack for pattern recognition and just looking at facts. And I just like noticed from the start, like in like experiencing the education system, seeing like the constant attacks against like the South, as it was, and then starting to realize that broader.
Jose, the music is coming up and your phone is fading down a little bit, but I want to thank you for the appearance, and we will have you back very, very soon. I promise you that. Jose Nino,
protecting everybody. Your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
There's a concern about the potential for a radiation leak at the Zaporizhzhia nuclear power plant in Ukraine, Europe's largest nuclear power plant. Residents near the plant are being given iodine tablets in case there is a radiation exposure. But Leon Zizel, president of the European Nuclear Society, told Canada's Global News that things actually aren't that grim.
All this is kind of a fear-mongering, and both sides need the electricity. So that's the reason that the plant is still there and operating, and they will need electricity, hopefully, also in the future.
The plant was knocked offline temporarily on Thursday due to fire damage to a transmission line. Oregon Governor Kate Brown declaring an emergency after a massive fire erupted in the southwestern part of her state. The Rum Creek Fire in Josephine County has reached 4,700 acres, according to her office. Evacuation warnings have been put in place. This is USA Radio News.
We are excited to introduce our newest advertiser, Manscaped, the best in men's below-the-waist grooming. Their products are precision-engineered tools
for your family jewels.
Now, I can already hear many of you wincing or crossing your legs, but we've all been trimming and then, ouchie, wawa! That's why over 6 million men worldwide already trust Manscaped. And now, Manscaped's Performance Package 4.0 has arrived. First, you get the Lawnmower 4.0. This trimmer is the greatest
down there trimmer
ever and features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents. It's waterproof and has an LED spotlight for a more precise shave. The Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker Nose and Ear Hair Trimmer. Manscaped even threw in two free gifts, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. Get with the program and take your grooming to the next level. Get your Manscaped Performance Package 4.0 and take 20% off and get free shipping with the code USARadio at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com and use code USARadio.
A New York family is making a request as they mark 1 year since their loved one's death.
Saturday marks 1 year since Gabby Petito's death. The 22-year-old's body was found in Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming after she never returned home from a road trip with her fiancé, Brian Laundrie. Her family is asking people around the world to light a candle on the anniversary of her death, with her mother saying, "Let's light up the sky all over the world." From the USA Radio News Phoenix Bureau, I'm Tim Berg.
Hydrologists predict that the Pearl River near Jackson, Mississippi will crest by Tuesday. Emergency officials are telling residents in low-lying areas to prepare for a flood. Jackson Mayor Chukwuma Lumumba has urged residents in flood zones to pack enough belongings to get through several days of evacuation, adding that police officers will increase patrols to protect property. Diplomats from across the globe failed to reach agreement on a UN treaty designed to protect marine life. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Imagine there's no heaven.
Now, typically, when we play intro music on this program, it's because it's a song we like Jay and the Americans. Who couldn't like that? But this is one of the most destructive songs ever written. And, of course, it's heralded
as a pop music standard.
That's right. As a pop music standard, it's one of the greatest compositions of pop music history. Imagine there's no heaven. Imagine there's no country. Imagine there's no religion. Imagine there's no race. There's nothing eternal.
Next to Spirit in the Sky, those two are the most anti-Christian of the songs I think you could imagine.
Any event, making his way back to the program for the first time in many months, he comes back with this particular song, and for a particular reason. But who are we talking about, Keith? None other than
Jack. And we just—he's like Elvis. You just need to know the first name to know Jack who we're talking
about. Jack is back. Jack Ryan. Jack, where have you been?
I've been out in the world. I'm still alive. I've gotten older. There's two types of people. People are getting older, and people who are not getting older. And the people who are not getting older are dead. So I got a little bit older, so I'm happy that I got older. I'm trying to get back in there, work in the field, pay my assessments and my insurance and the inflation, things like that. And I had some good things, some good ones, and going there in the service industry. But yeah, I'm a working man, and it's rough. But hey, I'm still alive, and I'm not dead. And so I played that song, and tonight's Jack Ryan segments are not great music and movies and books that I really like. These are music, books, and movies that I really hate. And I think that is the worst liberal, utopian, idiotic song in the history of civilization, that you're supposed to imagine that there's no countries, religions, no possessions. And he wrote that with Yoko Ono, that communist, ugly, Asian, Japanese bitch. And he was living in the Dakota on Central Park West in Manhattan in New York City. So if you're supposed to give up all your possessions, why don't they give up all their possessions? I mean, that's just so – I mean, he got over that, and he got over that spell, and he wrote some good stuff later, like I'm watching the wheels go round and round. He just admitted, I didn't know the secrets to life, and he decided, I just want your father to break bread for my son, and I could. And then he got assassinated, which I wasn't happy. But this is the worst liberal utopian song of all time. I don't know, maybe there's some competition, but that was my opinion, the worst. What do you guys think? Is there anything worse than John Lennon?
Well, the only other thing would be Spirit in the Sky, but you know,
how is Spirit in the Sky worse than that?
I don't think it's worse than that. I think that's number one, but Spirit in the Sky.
How does it even rank near to that? Norman Greer.
Well, I'll suggest one to Jack. You're talking about you're not dead yet. There's a Memphis garage band called The Breakers, and you can look up the song, Don't Send Me No Flowers, I Ain't Dead Yet. I want you to listen to that and give us a full report on that.
I'll do that review. So,
well, I want to put all the fans' minds at ease who have emailed me asking about Jack. I have been in touch with Jack this whole stretch just because he hasn't been on the radio. He's been pursuing some other interests, and we're all volunteer militia here. We're not regular soldiers, so we can come and go as we please. But
nobody can be fired because we're not paid.
Anyway, but I'll tell you what, no, it was McCartney that really kept the Beatles with all those pop hits. Lennon always wanted to do weird things. But there's no doubt about it. Together, Lennon and McCartney put out in the early 60s some of the best pop stuff. I mean, that bubblegum
sure
pop.
They were a good team because, you know, McCartney was a little bit too fluffy, and Lennon had this kind of darker side, and together they balanced each other out.
And they used to have a sense of humor, but, you know, then they lost. And then women come in and break up. Anytime you got a good boys' school or men's college or some fraternity, there's always going to be some women that come in and try to break it up. And they had women, Linda McCartney and Yoko Ono, and they broke up the Beatles. And that's, you know, that's always happened. So we hope
it's that old song from the 30s or the teens that said, "Wedding bells have broken up that old gang of mine."
We ain't never going to let that happen around here, are we, Keith?
Never.
No.
Jack.
right. Okay. Well, it's great to be back. I miss you guys very much, and I hope to be back. And I missed our fans. I hope some of our fans will give me some feedback of the things that they like or don't like. So I've been banned from almost all the ones. I got banned again from Twitter tonight on a Breitbart one. Tyson Fury, that great British boxing champion, he said we need to stay, Britain needs to stop these migrants invading England from the France, like they're coming in like a thousand a day. I said sink the boats, and then they took away my Twitter account. So but I'm on Gab, Jack Ryan TPC. So please, if you like the show or give me some constructive criticism, I want to hear from our fans and give them advice and things like that. So it's Jack Ryan TPC at Gab, and that's
well. You know, here's
my,
the thing. So we'll give that. I'm not. You know, I am. I say this. I don't say this jokingly. People laugh when I say this, but I am the world's oldest 42-year-old. And so I'm not good with social media. I'm not even on Gab. But for anybody on Gab, at Jack Ryan TPC. So I'm James Edwards TPC on Twitter. That's our one social media platform left that hasn't been taken from us.
You're the world's oldest 42-year-old. Jack is the world's oldest teenager.
And so Jack Ryan TPC on Gab. But I got to tell you, the median age of our audience is about 76.4. And Keith just learned how to send email last year. So I...
And I've forgotten in the meantime.
No, I love our audience. Let me tell you something. I love our audience, and I am an old heart. That is the truth. And I have much more in common with people a generation or two older than myself than I do with my contemporaries or certainly people younger than me. And so a lot to learn and a lot to love about our betters and about our elders, and I am thankful. This is the honest to God's truth. I don't really know the median age of our audience. We have a lot of young listeners, obviously. But
yeah.
I have a true affinity. That's why I keep Keith around here.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. Oh, by the way, before I forget, we're going to have a show on Monday night with Confederate Man.
Oh, yeah,
to plug that.
Okay, Mr. Confederate Man on Telegram. Can you tell people how to follow him on Telegram?
Just look for Southern Secessionist, I think that's the name.
Southern Secessionist Sanctuary.
Right, Sanctuary, yeah, that's it. Look that up, and... with any luck, I don't know whether it's lucky you'll make the connection or not. It's going to be great.
Well, Keith has made several appearances on Mr. Confederate Man's show, and we're going to actually be appearing in tandem. It'll be my first time to ever appear on his program, and Keith and I'll be appearing in tandem.
It'll be like a tag team wrestling match.
Stockton and Malone going over there to Mr. Confederate Man's show.
Well, that sounds good, but I've got a lot of bad movies and music.
Okay, let's see. It's Jack is back with the twist.
Much bad stuff. Yeah, yeah. So
We got to get to it.
Yeah. Instead of the music and the movies and books that I love, I think are important, tonight are just music, movies, and books that I really hate and think are just really stupid. So I'd like for our audience to come back if they can find in these categories that I tried to suggest to James this week: worst feminist country and music song, the worst patriotard song, the worst patriotard movie, worst idiot books and stuff that they have. So I've got my suggestions, and I'm not saying that these are the only right ones, but these are ones that I think fit the category. And I'd like to hear from our audience if they can find a more terrible feminist country music song or a patriotard song or a patriotard movie than I had. Please put it in there. But these are my suggestions. These are movies and songs that I just really hate. And so I think that, you know, there's a time. What's that Ecclesiastes? A time for love, a time for hate, a time for war.
Turn by the Birds.
This week is the time for hate. These are just things that Jack Ryan just really hates.
Hey, a quarter yard detractors, every week is a time for hate here on this particular broadcast. But yeah, so Jack is back with the twist, and we're going to cut out the monkey shines. You know, every time Jack comes over, kind of relax a little bit, and we get loose. Right. But when Jack comes back, normally he comes on with his book and movie, his book and movie and music recommendations of stuff
he's
like.
He's got a 180-degree turn now, and he's coming back with what he doesn't like in all these categories.
Yeah, we're going to get to that in the next segment. But we got about a minute remaining in this one, Jack. By all means.
Give us a teaser.
I really, it's easy to see the leftist liberal crap like John Lennon and stuff like that. But a lot of our people don't see the fake conservative, the wave the flag and bomb Iraq or bomb the Serbs or bomb the Germans or bomb the Russians, or they support the flag. So I'm trying to feature some of these bad patriotard songs and movies that lead you down the wrong path that you get to do military things are just not in our advantage. They're actually against us. So those are some of the ones that I'm doing tonight.
Well, I've got the perfect one. Jack has sent me a collection here, and it'd be hard to play them all. If we played them all, we wouldn't have any time for Jack to talk. But they all are deserving of being played to punctuate the dreariness of some of the things we don't like. And of all of the, let's use the parlance of our time, the Patriotard songs, we've got one of the worst coming up for you next. One of the all-time worst Patriotard songs. Who's it by? I know your money's on Lee Greenwood. We'll see.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C., and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Come celebrate the supreme law of the land at Loving Liberty's Constitution Day Dinner. Have you ever asked yourself, what's so great about America? Find out with guest speakers Lawrence Reed from Atlanta and Jeff Utch from Tucson, Arizona. We will also be introducing our new podcast, Ask an Immigrant. Join us Saturday, September 17th at 7 p.m. located at Liberty Hall, 3677 North 2000 West, Far West, Utah. Get your tickets today at lovingliberty.net. That's lovingliberty.net.
Have you ever had great honey? No, I mean really good, all-natural, raw honey. Well, now you can, thanks to localhoneyman.com. We can ship out our locally made honey all across the U.S. So don't worry, you won't miss out. Plus, Local Honeyman has so many different flavors, like Utah Wildflower, High Desert Delight, Happy Valley, and Blackberry, just to name a few. So purchase your delicious raw honey today at localhoneyman.com.
You thought the whole world would back down and let you take all the oil and rape Kuwait and plunder and spoil. Let sleeping dogs lie, don't give us a reason. Cause people in the USA are not really afraid of your starving army and all your wore out tanks. And if you take some innocent lives, that's when the fur's gonna really fly. Hey man, back off and get smart, don't give us a reason. Don't give us a reason to come gunning for you. Cause the odds don't look so good and your neck is in a noose. Cause the eagle and the bear make a mighty strong pair. And my advice is don't give them a reason.
How embarrassing. I am embarrassed to even hear that, because you know who was buying records like that is white Southerners. White Southern Christians bought that stuff. That's Hank Williams Jr.
I tell you, they went really overboard since the Civil War.
Lee Greenwood. I mean, there's a cottage industry for garbage, low IQ.
Toby Keith, another one.
Toby Keith actually is, he's all right. I don't think he does.
Hank Williams has a great song called A Country Boy Shall Survive.
But this is Hank Williams Jr.
No, that's Hank Williams Jr. that said country boy.
Well, whatever. I don't know. Don't give us a reason. Maybe he was singing about Halliburton. Maybe that was like the Halliburton corporate song instead of America. But the whole thing about Iraq we know was a lie. Saddam Hussein, listen, everything he says in that song, that's what America does. America's the one that's raping nations for
resources
and engaging in color revolutions and engaging in genocide and murderous.
Duplicity,
I mean, we talk about Liz Cheney. Holy hell and God Almighty. That is terrible, terrible stuff.
The Cheneys, the Bushes, and the military industrial complex.
Let's turn it over to Jack. Jack, you outdid yourself with that one. That I hadn't heard that song before, and I wish I could still say that. Tell us why you picked it, Jack.
Yeah, well, time flies when you're not really having fun. But when I fled New York City in about 1990, and then I got red-pilled and stuff. David Duke told me the truth about the JQ and stuff. So I went back to Tennessee, and I worked there, and I did a one-man America First opposition to the first of these three or four neoconservative Zionist wars in Iraq, Syria, Serbia, now Ukraine, Russia. And I knew what was going on, and I quoted George Washington's farewell address to the nation, Charles Lindbergh. I took out full-page advertisement in the Nashville Tennessean, Chattanooga Times. I went on talk radio and even on there. And I was treated very fairly by the new, Tennessee Nashville press, including the small Jewish press. And I explained why that just – it wasn't our war. And all these frustrated white red-state Americans, we haven't had a war. Things are kind of going down. And I'm like, well, why don't we fight the Medellin drug cartel or the Mexican cartels that are invading our country? Why are we jumping in the middle of this? And when I went on, everyone I talked to thought, you know, you're right. You know, we should put America first. We should control our borders. We shouldn't jump in the middle of Arab, Shiite, Sunni, bears. You shouldn't have the Christians get wiped out. But when they wave the flag and say, we got to fight, we can't be like Vietnam, and we got to win like we did in World War II, and then you get some popular guy like Hank Williams Jr., like Ted Nugent, and our enemies are always looking for these guys to give them lots of money and say, yeah, wave the flag. We got to go. We got to be. And then our people, they go for that. And so I really have to say that Hank Williams took the 30 pieces of silver, and he was getting the lead-ins to Monday Night Football. But he says something bad about Obama or something, so he lost it. So I really think and Teddy had these great songs, Country Boy Will Survive, and the South would have won. We'd had it made. But our enemies are always looking for that popular country and Western folk, Ted Nugent rock and roll guy to say, go on. And if they say, well, if Ted Nugent's for this war and Hank Williams for this war, who's this little guy?
That's Jack it.
Ryan now, Jr. What about Toby Keith? Tell me about what's your opinion of Toby Keith?
I mean, that was my second, and they're real close, American Soldier. So Hank Williams Jr. did the first one for Iraq War One, and then Toby Keith, they did it for Bush Jr.'s second Iraq War. After 9/11, when we got slaughtered by the Islamic extremists, we should have cut off all immigration from Islamic countries. Don't bring them in. Instead, we got a second war against Iraq. Iraq is a secular Arab nationalist country like Assad Syria was. And then here this guy, Toby Keith, says, just bow your head, be a good American soldier, and go and just be a slave, basically. Yeah.
Keith's pointing at me now. Now, all I know about Toby Keith is
his last name is my first name.
Well, that's right. No. So like the Hank Williams son and father pair, so Toby Keith, I know two songs from him. I hadn't heard of that one. I know Honky Tonk, Badonkadonk. And I know I love this ball.
Should have been a cowboy.
But yeah, oh, that's a great cowboy. One. Oh, that's you know yeah, what? Is. That is an all-time country song. No.
Hank Williams has good songs, too.
Well, he don't have one as good as Should Have Been a Cowboy. Oh, you know, he sings about Jesse good. James in that. And also, Toby Keith caught a lot of hell for wearing a Confederate flag earpiece in a concert. Right. So, but it's like, you know, the Williams family, they also sing if the South had won, had it made. So they're pro South, but then they also do the stupid stuff where, like, hey, let me tell you, in no uncertain terms, I'll tell you, George Bush Sr. and George Bush Jr. were 100 times greater war criminals and 100 times more murderous thugs than Saddam Hussein
war
ever
criminals,
was.
Or Liz Cheney. Also, they're working for foreign interests. They're working for the Emir of Kuwait, the Saudi royal family, and the AIPAC Israeli things. And we always followed Southern people like guns. They like the military. They like to wave the flag. And they didn't like when we lost Vietnam. So we need to fight these wars like we did World War II instead of like losing Vietnam. So this time we're going to do it. And when I was on there, everyone said, okay, you're right. But they couldn't get it in their mind that the only people that would be against American military or against the war would be Jane Fonda, liberal, communist.
That's right. That's right.
Guys. And our enemies know that. So they're always looking for some popular guy like Toby Keith, Hank Williams Jr., Ted Nugent, and they get on the air. And they say, we got to fight. We got to fight for freedom and democracy. And we got to do it. And Assad and Saddam Hussein, they're Hitler. But they're just not. And so this stuff, it shouldn't work. But unfortunately, this propaganda, you know, by these traitors does work. And so we do what we can, but it sucks. But that's why I hate the songs. And that's why they're on my list.
Well, Southerners too, Jack, you know, ever since the Spanish-American War have been trying to shed the accusation, the unfair accusation that we're treasonous and traitors because of the Civil War.
Right.
Well, I mean, another thing is, this just goes back to the very fiber of our being. We've talked about this with Michael Hill. Southerners love to fight, and it doesn't matter if it's a good cause or a bad cause. If we get a chance to fight, we're going to take it. And of course, people believe they're doing their duty if they fight for their country. And there's a lot of misplaced trust in that whole thing. But so you're right. I mean, the whole thing, if you were against a war, you were a Jane Fonda type communist. Right. Sure. And if otherwise, you had to be a good boy and go and fight if the government asked you to.
But George Washington, Charles Lindbergh, and Patrick Buchanan, you and I are not communists. We're for our own people. There's plenty of bad people to fight. You could fight the Medellin drug cartel, the Mexican Zeta cartels, the black gang members in Chicago.
MS-13.
Why don't you go fight them? Why do you have to go off and jump and kill our kinsmen, the Serbs or the Russians in Crimea? And then why do you, and then their propaganda, they always use that, how much Americans love World War II. So they say Assad is gassing little children. We got to, and it's like, that's a clear reference to the hoax. No, they have no, Assad wasn't gassing little children. Plus Assad was a secular, well-dressed, good one. He was fighting these Islamic extremist terrorists that murdered Salman Rushdie. So our people
got a lot worse when they got rid of him.
Yeah. Our enemies know how to use propaganda. And we got to get better at propaganda, but they're always looking for some populist country and Western rock star, Ted Nugent, Toby Keith, Hank Williams Jr. to push their stuff. And then they say, well, you know, if Hank Williams Jr. is for it, it's got to be.
Well, of course, we're always the people that are the ones that fight these wars. They don't have a lot of military recruitment centers on Great Neck, Long Island.
I will tell you, though, they've done everything they can to purge the military out of strong, right-thinking white Southerners. That's for sure. So I don't know what they're expecting will happen if they get to a hot war.
A homosexual army is going to defeat these people.
I've seen it. I was actually taping a TV show in Nashville, Tennessee, and we were out, and I saw a collection of troops, and it was, I didn't see one white male in the lot. A lot of black women, but I don't know what's going to happen if they ever actually get into another hot war. They're going to lose, but of course,
it's going to be a hot mess.
But anyway, I tell you what, if Jack, taking a couple of months off, brings Jack back this sharp every time, that's something I think we got to look to.
Charging his battery.
It sounded like he actually cut out a second ago. Are you still there, Jack? I thought I heard the phone disconnect. After 18 years, you pick up the ear for certain things. So we'll see if Mr. Producer can get him back in enough time to say goodbye, because we're running out of the last couple of minutes. But thoroughly enjoyed Jack's segment tonight. I think everybody shined tonight, Sam and Jose.
We should have played Four Jack, Jack, Happy Jack by Four Jacks and Jill.
We've played that. We've played that a time or two for Jack. I don't know what happened to Jack. I hope, Gavin McGinnis got, I think, arrested by the FBI mid-show. That could have
had the SWAT team kicked down the door.
I heard that Gavin McGinnis was taken away during the middle of his show by the feds. Well, I'll tell you what, if nothing else, we'll turn it over to the happenings. If Mr. Producer can tell me when we're about 30 seconds from break, we'll let everybody know
here.
We'll see him again. Oh, there he is.
Okay, Jack.
Okay, Jack, final word to you, my friend. Little fits and starts, but I will tell you, a few months off, and you're sharper than ever. I have thoroughly enjoyed the last couple of segments. We'll have you back on next week. Keith's going to be – well, I can't tell you where Keith's going to be. I don't want anybody to find him.
A secret mission.
Yeah, he's going to be on a secret mission. Final word to you, Jack. I've enjoyed it.
Okay. Well, I just I miss being away. I miss seeing great Keith and James and our listeners. Life's really tough, but again, I'm still alive and I'm in there. I'd like to get some feedback from our listeners, what they like and what want to do. So I'm at Gab, Jack, Ryan, TPC, and so I'd like to hear some people. I've got lots of ideas. I've been through the worst of this crap my entire life. So. It's bad, but I've been through it, so I'm going to give some stuff. So God bless all of our listeners, and I hope to be back, and I hope to contribute to our show and make it grow to be the best show in the United States of America.
And remember, what is that song you're going to look up?
All right, we'll have to remind
the
him.
Breaker.
I got to tell everybody when we're going to see him again. For Sam Dixon, Jose Nino, Keith Alexander, Jack Ryan, I'm James Edwards. Check your mailbox this week. You're going to get some mail that my wife and I suffered many paper cuts on to get to you. And I'm James Edwards. We'll talk to you next week. We'll see you in September. You know what? At least we'll talk to you in September. Good night, everybody. God bless.